I apologize about the halacha shiur this morning getting interrupted, so we'll start anew tomorrow, and that so you'll take us a few days. So for those that thought that was the whole presentation, I'm sorry to disappoint you. There's much more to be discussed on that issue. So yesterday we went through the seemingly strange gemara regarding sleeping during the day, and we tried to really understand at least practically what's involved here. So before we get to the numbers of this year, I just wanted to read this Meiri for you. The Meiri says the following. I get a little bit of a perspective and somewhat in line with what we theorized yesterday. The Meiri writes, "Ein roi la'odam l'kvoa shena b'yom." It's not proper for a person to be koveya during the middle of the day for sleep. El Shiyeshan Arai, the Yishazik Bemunaso Bataraso Lafimashihu. The person needs to. He needs to nap in order to galvanize himself, in order to garner his strength so that he continue being an Oved Hashem. That's a good thing. That's a proper thing. Dercha Ara Amru, Abai Havanaim Kemezel Mi Be Rav Pumpadisa. Karla Rav Yosef Ad Mosle Otzel Tishkov. And just Dercha Agav, he brings in that the Gemara has a Misa where Abai was censured by one of his colleagues for being overly involved in a daytime nap.
I mean, if you're
sounds kind of funny, right? That telling the great Abai was doing something that others felt was inappropriate. Obviously, you see this is not a rule per se. It's not halacha per se. And more, perhaps, a good idea, an Eitz HaTovah, more of a Musar idea, that people should aspire to this type of ideal. U'b'Shabbos, says the Meiri on Shabbos, Miha Mutar, Mishamonik Shabbos. If a person likes to nap, and sleeping is something that gives him enjoyment from the sleeping itself, then that becomes Mutar. See, this gives you a little bit of a contrast, because why is that activity not permissible during the week? Oh, because during the week it's not appropriate for you to take a day which is really designed for use in one's avos Hashem and now take it to use for your own self-gratification. Alright? That's why he says on Shabbos it's different. Because on Shabbos you have oneg. So on Shabbos that same activity which is not appropriate during the regular day on Shabbos becomes proper. V'usham v'talman amaro v'mem ma'ango mar amar b'sheina v'mar amar v'talman Torah. Right, the Gemara says in Yushalmi, with what does a person ma'anig the Shabbos? How does one engage in oneg Shabbos? One Shitta says with Talmud, learning, the other one says with Shena. V'lo pligan. Kam b'Talmud, kam b'Balabayis. Right? The one who learns all week, the one who's involved in Torah learning all week, and comes Shabbos, and his enjoyment is now resting, that's appropriate. But for the Baal Boss, who doesn't have the opportunity to learn all week, his Tainug should be in learning. He should say, oh, I have a Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift of Shabbos, now I could set aside time for learning, which I'm not able to do all week. Right? So it's interesting. In the footnote, the editor writes that over there, it's written, U'pirshu bar rabosai, Talmud ma'ango b'talmud Torah, balabayis b'sheina, va'ani omer hefech advarim. He says, I think it's the reverse. So the Meiri says, I heard from my Rebbeim that the way that Talmidim are ma'anig the Shabbos is, what's enjoyable to them? Shtaigi. So they want to learn on Shabbos, that's their enjoyment. And for the Baal Bas, the enjoyment is just to chop a dremel, to snooze, to take a nap.
This is the Meiri. The Meiri said the second answer.
I knew that was going to happen. The Meiri argued on... No, first, the Meiri said what I presented over here. This is an argument in Sukkah.
Studies to rest and works to study. And now you're
saying... I'm sorry, say again?
The guy who studies rests on Shabbos.
The guy who... Yeah.
The guy who works studies on Shabbos.
That's right.
But who's...
So he said, he's quoting in Shabbos, he says, I heard from my teachers...
The Meiri says, I heard from my teachers.
Yeah, that what does it mean when the Yerushalmi says... One sheet that holds sleeping is tainug, and the other one holds learning is tainug. It means his teachers told him it means that the Baal Bais, who likes to sleep, he's going to sleep, and the one who likes to learn is going to learn. But the Meiri says, I think it's the opposite. I think it means that the one who likes to sleep, meaning the Baal Bais, on Shabbos, he likes to learn. He wants to be able to learn. Because he doesn't have opportunity to sleep. He doesn't have opportunity to learn all day.
We flipped him.
He's consistent with his Shabbos, and Sukkah is consistent. Over there, he says his teachers told him it was the reverse. The Baal Bais was not involved. Just look up for 1 second.
Yeah.
He said his teachers would say that the Baal Bais, who likes to sleep, for him sleeping is Tainug on Shabbos.
Okay.
And for the Talmud Chacham, who likes to learn, he recognizes learning as the greatest good, right?
Yep.
So on Shabbos, that's what he wants to do.
Yep.
And that's what gives him enjoyment. So the Miri said, I think it's the reverse. That all week long, the Talmud Chacham is involved in learning. Right. On Shabbos, his Tainug is sleeping.
Okay.
And the Baal Bais, who is all week long involved in the Hevlei Azman, comes Shabbos, and his enjoyment is learning. So he's saying the same thing, just saying that his rabbis taught him the other way. He's consistent in both places.
Ah, okay.
That's all. But there was a position that, as you put it, flipped the position. Shatalman Shoshona Koyim Yashirua Makayim B'Shabbos Oneg Shena Shalo Yehi Sichlo Loa Yosimidai. Because a person's mind needs time to rest. So if a person is learning all week, you could identify with this. All right, guy's learning Torah, he's hard, he's steiging all week. He needs time to decompress a little bit. If he would learn 24/7, or even 7 days a week without any rest during the daytime hours, maybe his mind would be overly taxed and he wouldn't be as productive. Aval Baal Bayis, Shemes Asri, Kol Yimei HaChol B'Iskov. The guy who's working in business, Roy Lo L'Sasik Ma'at B'Shabbos B'Tal Torah. For that guy, it's appropriate for him to be involved in learning on Shabbos. Derech Onegu, and that's enjoyable for him. And he says, if you look over there on Shabbos, the Meiri brings Rayos to this position. Okay, so there are a few things that are significant. A, this famous Chazal about Sheinu B'Shabbos Tainug. Everyone, I'm sure, has heard this before. I'm assuming it's not the first time anyone's heard this. Sheinu B'Shabbos Tainug. They say also that's an acronym. Shin Beis Tav Shabbos, Shein of Shabbos Tainug. No one's ever heard that.
Because then you know they're going to start using gematria.
No one's ever heard that. Okay, but in any event, the idea of Shein of Shabbos Tainug, which seems to be based on this Yerushalmi, so different ways to understand it. You have the way the Rebbeim of the Miri understood it, and you have the Miri's understanding of it. But the idea is that even the Talmud Chacham, according to the Miri, should be involved in some form of rest on Shabbos. That's proper. That's oneg. So that very activity, which on Shabbos is the source of oneg, because it's for him, right? The sleeping on Shabbos is for his own sake. That's why it's oneg. It's enjoyable. It's pleasurable. It's rejuvenating. But it's not necessarily a productive activity. It's not being done in terms of its productivity. That's why during the week it's not appropriate for a person to start sleeping in for long periods of time during the day. In that way, and that sleeping of oneg is a Shabbos activity. The sleeping of oneg is not a weekday activity. So that's why the Meiri is contrasting it too. He says it's not roy for a person to be yoshein shenas keva by day. Shenas arai is acceptable. But on Shabbos it's mutter. Why? Oh, because on Shabbos oneg Shabbos is appropriate. So you see that the very that's only on Yom Tov.
Oh, okay, fine.
It's only on Yom Tov. Shabbos is a different formula. Okay?
Revelation. Shamra.
Sort of, while he was looking for this Meiri, Heshi Chaitov came across a different Meiri, and he pointed out to me, he said, it seems like the Meiri on the previous Sugya is holding like Rashi. Listen to the Lashon of the Meiri regarding the Tefillin with the Sudar. Okay? He says, you with me,
yep.
Zehu Beir Divrei HaMishnah Upsak Shelo Udvarm Shenichnasu Tachteh B'Gemar Elohim Micha Tfilin Biyado. Someone's tfilin is in his hand. Asur Lo Leishen B'Hem. You're not allowed to sleep with them. Afilu Shein Asaroi. Even Shein Asaroi. Why? Shem Yiplu B'Aretz Hayu Munacho Slo B'Rosho Derech HaNachasam. If he's wearing them as he normally would, then Yeshem Bam Shein Asaroi, That's like Rashi. Right? Rashi's the one that said if you're wearing them, you could sleep Shenas Arai, not Shenas Keva. Because Shenas Keva is subject to Shem Yafiach. Henicham tachas neiroshosav, if you put them under your head, o be'ezem makam, or in any other place, upara sudar aleihem, and you cover them up with a sudar, yeshen imahem afilu bekeva, you can now sleep even kviyas. Why? Shehe malo od lasos. What else could he possibly do? V'lo nitna Torah la'malach yasharis. So when Heshi pointed this out to me, I thought this was a nice raya for the pshat that we gave in Rashi. Because what does he say? And I'm assuming that the Miri is learning like Rashi. Henicham tachas miroshosav ezem makom uparas sudar aleihem. Now you can do whatever you want, even Shenas Keva. What are you normally worried about during Shenas Keva? Shem Yafiach. But over here, the Miri says, you could do this, even Shenas Keva, when you're normally worried about Shem Yafiach. Why can you do this? What else could you possibly do? You did everything that's in your power to protect the sanctity of the tefillin. You might flagellate in the vicinity of the tefillin, but ma'od lalasos. What else could we ask of you? What else could we demand of you? You can't control yourself when you're Shenas Keva. You took your tefillin off, you covered them up. I think that sort of lends to the possible pshat that we said for Rashi. Then he says he likes the Rambam's pshat better in terms of... I'm sorry, that was not here. Never mind, that's not the case. But it's interesting, in the first case he seems to learn like Rashi. Right? Mishat film the other oscillation of feel shein asarai, because they might fall on your hand. Menachas lo berosho, that's mutter arai. And the Rambam said that's not mutter, if you recall. Okay, so I thought that was a nice point. While you're out, we just went through the latter Meiri. I'm just trying to put it. You know, it's hard to say that that's a halachic issur. It's hard to say that it's a halachic violation if a guy sleeps during the day. So Rashi is a bittul Torah. So how do you mishayer that? It depends on, like the Mishnah Berurah said, it depends on each person. If the guy's sleeping excessively and it's not necessary, then you're right. At that point, it becomes a batala. But if it's necessary and each person needs it for his own constitution, for the way he's wired, you know, and that's the way he's going to get most productivity out of his day, if he sleeps 2 hours in the middle of the day. I mean, you go to Eretz Yisrael, the day is set up like that, right? They follow the European model with the siesta in the afternoon.
Good, people have naps in the afternoon.
Yeah. In the olden time, not that olden times, but not that long ago, they used to close a lot of stores during that time. Some places still like that. You go whatever it is between 12 and 2, or exactly what time, I'm not sure, 12:30, 2:30, stores are closed. And they say reopening at 2:30.
People still take naps in the afternoon in Israel now?
I think so. Like they have Bein Hasdarim, for example, in yeshivas they have after lunch, before second, four seconds, say there's a
big
break.
Yeah, but I just figured that was more of a break.
It's a break, but guys take naps. I mean, that's what, we will rest it for the rest of the day. I mean, here I'm guessing guys do that here too. Right here, it's much longer. I've noticed the period between the end of first seder and the beginning of second seder. But it's from the Meiri, it's mashma that the problem is when a person does that thing which on Shabbos is called oneg, and there you're dafka allowed to do it for oneg. If you're just doing that in the middle of the week, that's not a good idea because now you're detracting from what would otherwise be productive time. If it's necessary, you can't tell a guy he's doing something wrong. Because even look at the condemnation of Abai, they call them an otzel. That's laziness. Laziness is not a guy who needs to rest because he's tired. Laziness is a guy who they think is just doing it because it's a hard thing to understand that they call the Abaye out for napping.
I've been Abaye in the Gemara right. 100 times more than Rav Yosef.
Right. That's hard. It is hard to understand. I don't know.
Maybe they're like buddies and they just...
Like ribbing him a little bit. Well, it's a matter of sleepyhead. You know? A little trash talking. It's a little trash talking. It's okay. With Rav Yakiva makes a sukkah on the boat, and then the wind knocks the sukkah down, and the bar plukta says to him, "Oh, Akiva, heichan sukkascha? I told you not to make a boat on, I told you not to build a sukkah on the boat. Where's your sukkah now? Heichan sukkascha? You know, I can imagine like puffing at his chest. Where's your sukkah now? So yeah, listen, they were people. I guess they had some sense of humor also.
This The Ben Parit seems less mild.
What do you mean? Less mild?
I think.
You think there's a harsher criticism?
Harsh.
Yeah, you call the guy lazy, otzel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. It's kind of harsh. It's kind of harsh. Harsh. What? Ben Parr?
It's more harsher than Ben Parr.
I thought you went to Ben Parr?
Yeah.
Ibn Ezra? Ibn Ezra says, it says in the Pasuk, Ve'enei Leya Rakos. So he quotes, Ibn Ezra quotes Ben Ephraim. He says, Ben Ephraim says that it really is Chaser Aleph. It should be Ve'enei Leya Arukos. So he says, there's nothing that's Chaser and Aleph except Ben Ephraim. Ben Ephraim is missing an Aleph. Take away the Aleph, and it's Ben Parim, like a son of a cow. He's kind of like a son of an ox, like a dolt. You know, he's telling you, he's a foolish chat. Ben Parim, Ben Ephraim is missing an Aleph. It should be Ben Parim. So shtach, we have those every once in a while. Rambam Ravid had some barbs. But that was all in good, it was in good, good faith. What's it called? Good
faith.
Me'inyan le'inyan. I feel, I apologize for jumping around, but I guess it's, you know, towards the end of the so-called Zman over here, so I just want to make sure we cover all the last loose ends here. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, this is in Hilchos Brachos, it's an interesting Siman, it's one Sif. The Chav writes the following, Im Iyafshar Lo Lumod Belo Shinas Hatzorayim. Let's say you can't learn now, second Seder. You're not going to be able to learn without a nap. You won't be able to learn without a nap. What should you do? You should nap. Right? You should nap. You should nap. Says the Ramah. Ukishe neyor mishenoso ain't tzarech levarach elokai neshama. V'yishomim shiikra kodim sheishen vino. Alright, that's not our issue. Ubovachelo yarechba, says the Mechaber. You should nap, but don't overdo it. It doesn't mention that. That's a separate question. She'osu leishen bayom yosir mishenas hasos. So this is the second place that the Mechaber mentions this concept of Shenas Hasus. The first place we had it was in Siman Dalad. And over here again, the Mechaber revisits it and says, you could sleep during the day when you have to for the purpose of enabling your learning. Which is, again, is the 60 horse breaths. Va'af bazeh Hama'at, even this little bit, whatever it is, again, we saw there's different shitos, anywhere up to 3 hours, it's still called ma'at over here. Even this small amount of 60 nishmin should only be done lo tehe kavanaso la'anos gufo. Shouldn't be for your own hana. This is in line with the me'iri. And the napping that a person does when it's done, even within the context of the Gemara, shisa nishmin, it should not be done la'anos gufo. The guy shouldn't say, listen, you know what? I could eat a big meal now, pleasure myself, or I could take a nap now. I'll take a nap now. That's not the right thing for a person to be doing. A person who's supposed to be a productive Oved Hashem should say, listen, I'm tired, so I'm going to nap. Or I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat what I enjoy, but I'm not just going to eat for the sake of eating. I'm not going to eat for the sake, you know, that's the old question. Do you eat to live, or do you live to eat? So that's what he's saying over here. Your kavana should be not lahanaz gufo, ela lahachze gufo, la'avodas Hashem Yisparach. When you sleep or when you eat, it should be to further your productivity as an Eved Hashem. V'chim b'chol ma'ashe yehene b'olam hazeh. Not just with these things, but anything. A person goes on vacation. So he's going on vacation because he has a taiva, he has to see every place in the world, and he just wants to have the pleasure of seeing all these places. They say, listen, I work hard all week, I work hard all winter, I need a break, I need to rejuvenate. So I'm going to go and I'm going to enjoy myself to be able to continue and be healthy. Right? This guy, he say, he has to go to Great Adventure because everyone's going to Great Adventure. They say, no, I'm going to Great Adventure because I need to spend time with the family. It's important for the family dynamic that people spend some downtime together and it's enjoyable, but it's important. Okay, there's a difference. There's a difference in perspective, a difference in outlook. A person doesn't have to run after every taiva that's available to him just because he could do it. Whatever a person does should be l'shma, l'shem shemayim. even things that are not bound up in mitzvos or prohibitions, you know, mitzvos asay, mitzvos no asay, the rishos, kigon ha'achilo, ha'shasiya, ha'halicha, va'yeshiva, va'akima, va'tashmish, va'sicha, v'kol tzarchei gufcha, yu kulam avodas barecha, ola dover ha'gorim avodasam, sha'afil ha'yatsame v'roi, person's thirsty, or he's hungry, im ocho v'shasal anoso, eino m'shubach, it's not tzadik. Right? If you're eating and drinking because you're hungry, but then you go ahead and you eat and drink in excess, no. El yiskavin sheyocha v'yishtek afich yuso la'avod es boro v'chein afil leishev b'sod yisharim v'lamod b'mokom tzadikim v'leilech ba'atzos t'mimim. Where you hang out and who you converse with and what you speak about, a person should always have in mind that he's doing it because this is the right thing to do and this is going to further his shlemus. It's going to further his perfection. Im also lahanos atzmo v'hishlim chefza v'tavoso eina mashubach el imkein also shem shemayim. And even if there's a benefit that comes from it, but you did it to be mahana yourself, that's not the highest level, right? Now you're not hungry. Now you can be better over Hashem. But you ate with a taiva. You ate simply to be mahana yourself. It's true. You came back from lunch able to learn properly second seder, but that wasn't your approach when you sat down to lunch. You said, all right, I have a lunch special, I need as much as I can. Now you came back, and it happens to be that you're well sated and you can learn the rest of the day. All right, that's not the highest level. I don't know if I mentioned it, I think I may have mentioned it once before. I have who lived this ideal. I mean, it's not for me, but we could strive to be as best as we can within our, you know, limitations. Same thing, tashmish. Like, as she said, you know, to have tashmish all day, it's not a halachic violation per se, but it's not, well, it might be at certain times. It could be that there's certain times when it's not proper to have tashmish, lor hayom. But let's say even not. Let's say he has tashmish all night, from nightfall all night until daybreak, he has tashmish every night that he can.
Then he'll have to take a long nap during the
day. That's not proper. Right. Then, you know, he's going to have to take a nap during the day. That was the guy from the West Coast. All right.
That was recorded.
He knows it was recorded.
No one wants to keep the Jewish population booming.
That's not proper. He says that's not proper. Same thing with eating. A person can eat all day. He's not going to necessarily violate a strict sir, but that's what we call novel b'shus Torah. You don't engage in every hanah that's out there just because it's available. You have to practice some self-restraint. And that's really the ideal of the Torah, that a person understands that there are things here that were given to us by Kadosh Baruch Hu to enjoy, but only insofar as it's helpful to a person, not to have a person become addicted to it. Right? The famous Yerushalmi that I think the Nesil Sesharma quotes in his Hagdama, that a person sees a certain fruit tree, and he says, oh, that fruit tree looks very enticing, looks very nice, I'm not going to have any. I'm going to swear it off. I'm going to be a ascetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right? I'm going to...
Ascetic, yeah.
I'm going to ward off all physical enjoyment in this world. That's not proper. The Gemara says he's also litanus adin. He's going to have to answer for that. Rosh Baruch is going to say, what do you mean? I created these things for you, and you just said, it's not for you. You're too good for that? No, a person's supposed to approach it with the right perspective. I'm going to have it in moderation. I could have meat, I could have milk, I can't have them together. I could have, you know, certain, I could have meat, and then 6 hours later I could have milk, I could have milk, and then I could have meat. But a certain moderation, certain things are never mutter, certain things are mutter in context. That's all part of the same idea.
A quick idea.
Yeah. So let me just finish with the Mechaber here. He says, whatever you should do should be l'shem shemayim. Not lahanas atzmo. Ela imkin also shem shemayim v'chein b'shkiva ein tzarech lomar shebezman sheyochel asak b'tor b'mitzos lo yizgara b'sheina. If there's a time where a person is alert, he's alert and he could be engaging in Torah and in mitzos, he shouldn't waste his time with sleeping just for oneg atzmo. Ela fiel b'zman shu yoga, but even when a person is somewhat tired, in order to remove the tiredness, Im also lahana'az gufo, if he's just doing it for the enjoyment, shabo, it's not a good idea. Eino meshubach. El yitzkaveh laseis shena la'inov. He should have in mind that he's doing it to restore sleep to his body and to his menucha. For tzorech habriyas, for health. Shelo titarev taito, so he doesn't go mad. The Torah machmas minias hashena. Person doesn't get enough sleep. It's not good for him, right? V'chein b'tashmish. Same thing with the same thing with tashmish. V'chein b'tashmish. Afilu ba'ona ha'amura b'Torah im also lahashlam tavaso al nasgufo hareza meguna. Afilu neskavin k'dei shiyulu bonim she'yishamsho also v'yimalu makomo eino meshuvach. Al yiskavin she will bonim la'avodas borel. Person when he has children, he should have in mind that he's having children to fulfill the ratzon abore. Or she's kavin l'kayim mitzvahs ona, or to fulfill a mitzvah ka'odam aporeach olu v'chein besicha afilu saper b'divrei chachma tzarech she'tiyah kavanaso la'avodas habore olu davra maybe la'avodaso. A person should have in mind that he's doing this because it's necessary to remain healthy, to remain well psychologically, physically, mentally. Kol shadavar chayiv odom losum einav libo al derachav. A person has to really be honest with himself and think about what he's doing. The lishkol kol maisav b'mozne sichlo, and he has to weigh. It's a very interesting machaber. I mean, this is a rare construct for the Shulchan Aruch. This whole, first of all, it's a very, very long sif. Second of all, the things that he's saying here are not the types of things that you'd expect to see in the Shulchan Aruch. You expect to see maybe in the Ram Hilchos Deyos. This is right here in Hilchos Brachos, right before right before Mincha. What's that?
It's a halacha thing.
Yeah, exactly. So you see that the Mechaber at least felt that this was an inyan of halacha. And at the end, he says that a person should weigh all of his deeds with his mozne sichlo, with the scale of his mind. When he sees something that's going to be helpful to him and beneficial to him in terms of his avodas Hashem, he should do it. Vim lav, and if it's not going to prove to be beneficial, it's not going to help him in any way, lo yaseyu. When mishanoi kein oved as boro tamin, and someone who does this, who lives his life like this, will always be an oved Hashem. He's always going to live with this ideal. Is this going to help me or not? Is this going to benefit me or not? You know, sometimes it could be more and more complicated cheshbon. Maybe a guy says, listen, that's not really for me, but I'm married, and my wife, it's important for her. So I got to do it, because it's important for you, it's important for your wife to be happy.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's true, I'm not saying it as a joke, I'm being very serious. But sometimes you have to, you'll take one for the team. You have kids, you have an achrayas to your kids, you have to, so it's not important to you to take them someplace, but if you want to have happy, healthy kids, sometimes they need an outlet, and you have to provide it for them. Same thing again with your wife, lahavdil. You know, your wife needs your company. You might feel it's not necessary at this time. She feels it is. Okay. Someone just told me a story about Rav Avadia. I forget exactly all the details, but apparently there was a period of time where Rav Avadia's wife separated from him at some point after they first got married. The guy's like just learning all the time. Not a normal existence. And she said, it's not what I signed up for to have a person. I forgot who it was. They said that someone told her, listen, you have an opportunity to help this person be the next Gadol Hadar. You could either be a part of it or not. And then she came back to him.
Took one for the team.
You know, so I'm saying, you know, that, but that was different. I mean, she really made a sacrifice. But not the average person, not like that. The average woman is not saying, listen, I'm marrying a husband and I'm just going to be moser nefesh for his growth at the expense of everything else. That's not a normal situation. I'm saying the average wife wants to have a balance. They want to have a husband, and you know, if you could be a gadol while you're at it, that's okay. So sometimes you're going to have to do things like that. And I think that's all part of this cheshbon. It's part of the cheshbon. But again, a person has to really be honest with himself. You know? If it becomes excessive, then you have to say, listen, and we went out three nights this week already, I think it would be okay if I didn't go out this night. I want you to go out with your friends. So I think the sleeping is the same thing. A person has to look at sleeping insofar as it's a good. You can't abuse it. See, the Orcha Tzaddikim is built on this idea. The Orcha Tzaddikim is built on the fact that every midah, when used in excess, is bad. Either too much this way or too much this way, it's bad. If a person has too little of a certain midah, that's bad. If he has too much of a midah, and he shows how if you know, let's say, too little ka'as, it's not good because you allow people to do things to you that are inappropriate. Too much ka'as, you know why that's bad. You need to have it in balance. Every midah, that's his cheshbon. And that's really the yisod of this mechaber, that everything that you do has to be l'shem shemayim, it has to be weighed out. It sounds like a lofty ideal, but each one of us on our own level, I think we could try to strive to do the best we can. Okay, halacha. And you see that he makes recourse to this gemara about the sheinas hasos. See, in both cases, it's funny, in both cases where the mechaber mentions it, the other case was...
Does he say how long the sheinas hasos
is? No, he does not say over here. It's just using the gemara's lashon. The other place that he mentions it is in Siman Daled. In Siman Daled, the mechaber's terminology is also very obtuse about the sheinas hasos. So what does he say over there? It says, David haya nisar shalalishin shisin nishman. Again, a very funny way of presenting something. If you think it's a halacha, what do you tell me? David used to do this. Just tell me, also to do this. Or chayav to do it the other way. What do you tell me? David used to do it this way. Kedei shalal yitom tam misa. In order that he not taste the taste of death. And come back to that in 1 second. But what kind of formulation for halacha is this? What's the halacha? This is the way it's written. David haya nisar shalalishin shisin nishman kedei shalal yitom tam misa. That's weird. That's a weird way to have a halacha. What's the halacha? Okay, nice thing. You tell me about David. Okay, how does it affect me? So, you know, that's why the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Magen Avraham that this is not necessarily a hard and fast rule for the average person, but it's something perhaps to think about, something to aspire to. And he says that the Magen Avraham says that this is for the Baal Nefesh. Baal Nefesh should be machmer. If a person can, then it's appropriate to try to minimize the sleep. Kol zeh l'didan shebal nefesh. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sigal olachronim de lo nimtza sham kim b'gemara rak al ha'amorayim. The Gemara just says that the amorayim were particular about this. Aval David ba'atzmo gam b'layla hayan nizar v'nafkamina kol zeh l'didan. At night, you could sleep normally, but during the day, at least the Baal Nefesh should be machmir on this. But again, he's not saying it's an absolute. And the Mishnah Berurah himself says that everything is according to the person's own constitution. Machzal Shekel said, Inyan Hashena Bayom, Tolu Ufi Mashu Adam Ukafi Atzerach Lavadasal Yisborach. Whatever a person needs for his own constitution and whatever he needs to help him be a better Jew, that's what's appropriate. You can't give an objective rule. It's not proper to sleep. You can't say that. But people have to be honest with themselves. Just like a person is proper for them to engage in leisure activity, you have to be honest. You can't say, oh, I need this. It's necessary for my mental well-being. Sometimes the guy's just tricking himself. You know, when something becomes an obsession, then you got to dial it back a little bit.
You know? Maybe that's where the Shana Sassus, because it's not, we have so many different cheetahs for it.
I mean, why? Yeah, it's interesting. Why they pick Sheinas Hasos? I don't know how they pick that. Also, I don't know.
Maybe because different horses have different.
I don't know. I think a sus generally is considered, they use it as a model for physicality. Like when they want to talk about the Koach Hasos. Koach Hasos is like just pure brute strength.
You know, really? I would use an elephant.
I don't think horses have Sheinas Hasos. They only have Sheinas Hasos.
What's the story? They say because the horses sleep standing up or something?
Wait, they can kneel or whatever. I think they do whatever.
Okay, he lives on a farm.
I think they have. I don't think they have Shana's Kevin.
They don't sleep for the whole night.
They don't. They have a lighter type of sleep. So insofar as we're looking at Shana's Kevin, it makes sense that you go with an animal.
Right.
You're learning a base house, and it makes sense that you go with an animal. Oh, it just doesn't do Shana.
Could be.
Yeah. If a person is blind.
Because what? Because they're jealous.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're jealous of their inability to produce puns. Yep. Okay, the Erchon there on this, I don't know if anyone got to see it. This says something noteworthy, interesting. And we saw him previously. What did you say was memorable? Yeah, so one second. What did I want to mention here? On Chavav Amud Aleph. Yeah. So he says, V'dovik k'desusya. He says, take a look at the Rambam and Orach Chaim Siman Daled. Kasav de b'gemara de hacha mashma de b'yom hayashen aso kein. V'amagin Avram that we saw, hiksha de harid b'zohar u'b'brachos mashma b'firish de b'layla lo hayashen yosem yishin aso sus. David. David would not, Mishnah Berurah brings that down, that David wouldn't sleep at night. He would, right? He would just be misnamim until Chatzos, and then he would get up for the rest of the night. Lani istaiti efshaloma dihine b'hoshel leishen yoser yesh beis time. Why shouldn't a person sleep more than the sleep of the sus? So the Erchan there wants to give two reasons why it's not proper to sleep more than a horse, whatever that shear is. So he says, one, yesh beis time ha'achas. Shelo litom tam misa, kemavur b'shas sham, u'mavur yoser b'zohar hevio hataz, v'habeiz mishum bitol Torah. One is because it leads ultimately to bitol Torah, and the other is because of not wanting to be telling tam misa. You okay, Ami?
Yeah, it's not the 3 hour yet.
All right, so hold off one second.
Second phrase,
towing tam misa. It says, what's the nafkamina? Was a nafkamina between these two reasons. V'hanafkusa bein beis ha'taymim hu im mekitz bein tayim. So you get up, and it's not contiguous. The sum total sleep that you did is more than this, but you didn't sleep that sleep continuously. So he says like this. V'mishum tamisa leka, aval mishum bitol Torah ika. Right? The otu im yeshen kol ha'yom kula. I de hakata, bein shishim nishmi, l'shishim nishmi. Let's say it's a half an hour. So, for argument's sake. So let's say he sleeps a half an hour at a time, and he tells his roommate, wake me up every half hour. Right? He'll sleep the whole day, but he'll sleep only in half hour increments. The girl slept throughout the day?
No, he slept 4 hours a day. Or not, whatever.
I was just telling him Pesach before. Okay, so he continues and he says like this: if a guy's going to sleep in half-hour increments, and he's going to be woken up every half hour on the half hour, so it depends. If you're worried about telling Tam Misa, so then you didn't have that. You're not sleeping in such a way that it's like you're dead. But if you're worried about Bittul Torah, what are you going to say? The guy's not being Bittul Torah. He's not sleeping too much. He's not taking away from his learning time. Of course he is. Aval mishum b'tol Torah ika the atu im yeshin kol yom kulai de hakotza being shishim nishmi like a b'tol Torah. He says v'hine gabi David how you beza timing the rutzal asakin chait adam harishon shehevi misal olam kumavur b'zohar v'chem b'layla gamkin lo hayyoshin shishim nishmi. But Pam, he wouldn't sleep more than 60 winks at a 60 breaths at a time. Achen ay de hakotza being time, but with waking up he would do it. The hayyoshin ad chatzos, he would do this type of sleep until chatzos. But we're talking about sleeping during the day, the bitol Torah bazaar, but now there's the issue of bitol Torah. Therefore you can only sleep this sleep. You can't do it incrementally. You can't do it repeatedly with that shear, because now you're talking about the bitol Torah. During the day you should be learning. Like the sus that never really fully falls asleep. That's the way the sus is. That's the way you should be during your day if you have to. So he says, you see that from Rashi, it's mashma also that the concern was the Torah, the learning concern. Why didn't Rashi and Brachos give the explanation that the Gemara gives over here? The Kamashina Sasus, Shisunishmi, El Al Karchach Mishum, the Hosam Ari Belaila. So when it's talking about night, Asa Yadavid Yeshen Yosef Mishishin Nishmi. Rak lo b'pam achas, but not at once. Ela neir bein time, kishenas asus. The came of the hacha, maisil in shenas yom, but over here we're talking about shenas yom. Lachain shaper, kasav haramah, the mashma hacha, the gamba yom lohaya Yoshen Yosef. The Ramah says, good, when the Ramah says that David also didn't sleep more during the day. V'had ha-hutzuch l'kinor, the Chazal said that he needed the kinor, well, one was for nevuah, he needed the kinor to be in a state where he could receive nevuah. V'had ha-hutzuch l'kinor, lamod b'chatzos, he needed to get up, to be woken up. V'lo ha-idei ha-katzah, not to be just woken up every once in a while. Yesh lomar da-idei kinor haya mashar imasai chatzos layla. Mamish was like an alarm clock. The neshe baruaf tzvonis v'hamikitzim lo yichol masharkin. The kinor, it would be blown by the wind. Right, the wind would come at a certain time and blow the kinor, and he would wake up, and that way he knew he wasn't exceeding the proper time of sleep, the proper amount of sleep. But if he would just rely on someone else, they might exceed the time. They would be relying on their own judgment. That wasn't sufficient. Anyway, it's an interesting idea here that he mentions that there's these two reasons, and based on the two reasons, you can have a nafka min al-halacha, so to speak, in terms of how you're sleeping. If you're sleeping more than the shishim nishman, then you're not going to end... Sorry, if you're sleeping less than shishim nishman at a time, but you're sleeping in totality more than shishim nishman, so then you have a problem with bittul Torah, even though you don't have the problem of tam misa. Which is interesting, if nothing else. Yes, Sfas Emes. I was talking to Hashi about this before. The interesting Sfas Emes on the previous sugi about the tefillin. It's probably one of the rare opportunities I'm going to get to quote a Sfas Emes in Shir. So there is a noticeable difference between the Sfas Emes ala Torah and the Sfas Emes on Shas. Sfas Emes on Shas is pretty much accepted as a source to reckon with. We have here in Yeshiva. I do not think we have a Sfas Emes. Oh, we actually might have a Sfas Emes ala Torah also, but that, I think, came from someone's private collection. This looks like it was part of it. Right, yeah, I think that was, this was not. I don't think this was.
Oh, the
Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes was Hasidish. He was Ger. So the Ger Hasidim were actually known for being big learners. Even today, within the Hasidic world, Ger has sort of distinguished himself as those that have really been, like Munkach. The Munkach Rebbe was a very well-respected Talmud Chacham throughout, even among the literature.
What does the
Gear
view on college, though?
It has nothing to do with anything. I'm just saying, in terms of their focus on learning, as opposed to some Hasidim, which are more widely known for their Hasidus, Gear is also known for their scholarship in learning. The Sfas Emes, I forget how the Sfas Emes is related to the Chiddush HaRim.
Yeah.
Right? I forget the relationship. There's a son, grandson relationship there. But listen to what he says on Sukkah. And nice piece here. So on the Gemara, on Chavav, there's actually a story behind these Sfarim. I don't know.
Okay. I come from a family.
Huh?
Well, that's actually easy to do.
So the Sfas Emes. Yes, yes, Yona, we got it. The Levi's.
I actually don't have jeans.
So the Sfas Emes says on the Gemara about Parasudra, it says Lepirish Rashi Shehenicham Eitzal Meiroshosav. Yesh l'tmoa, lama nikra, za yashem b'tfilin. Why is that guy called sleeping in the tfilin? Gam kasha, lama lo nitka, za b'gemara. Why didn't the Gemara say that that's what it means? Why don't you par sudra? It doesn't say you're taking off, putting it on your side. V'haya efshar l'foresh b'dochak. The par sudra, he says, it's dochak. He says, doesn't have a really good answer for Rashi. Rashi's shver, Rashi's difficult. He says, if you push me up against the wall, I would say this. That what? The par sudra lahi v'nokit luhu b'yadeh. He says he took his tefillin, took them off, and he wrapped them up in his tzudar. V'kevan depar sudra lahi lo chayshinan kol kach. Now you're no longer worried. What happens to the tefillin? Shem yiplu k'dashkam l'ni l'sanos. This is exactly what we said yesterday. But we said this when we explained the Tosos Rid. So I'm assuming that Sfas Emes didn't, either he didn't know the Tosas Rid, or he's saying even if that's what the Tosas Rid holds, it's hard to say that's what Rashi means. Right? Even if he knew the Tosas Rid, he's saying to say that this is the Pshat in Rashi. See, Tosas Rid specifically questions Rashi and says, this is what the Pshat in the Gemara is. He's not saying this is what Rashi means. So Asamas is saying, it's Dochak, but I could say this is what Rashi means. That he took it off, he wrapped it up, and now who cares what happens? If it falls, it's not falling because it's wrapped up. Ain't Sarchasanos. Achein Yoser knows Yoser Nira Pirsha Rambam. But he says, with all that having been said, Rambam's Mahalach in the Sugya seems to make much more sense. So he likes the Rambam's learning of the Sugya better. Okay, so since tomorrow is the last day of Shia for a few days, I'd like to try tomorrow, if we can, if nothing else, just to get through the Gemara and Rashi, maybe make a few Ha'aras, from the Tanur Rabbanon until the Mishnah. If you saw it today, then great. If not, I'll take a look at it tomorrow. So that's my goal, Gemara and Rashi. I'll say Bli Nether because I don't want anyone keeping me here tomorrow for an extra hour because, you know, we said we didn't finish. But at least from Tanur Rabbanon to the Mishnah, Gemara and Rashi, we'll go through it. So that will put us in good stead for after the break to pick up with the next sugya. I think somewhere in this Amud, here is the issue of Mechzi Ke Yuhara. I don't remember if it's before the Mishnah or after the Mishnah. If it's before the Mishnah, then I'd like to revisit that after the break. If it's after the Mishnah, then Ma Tovu Ma Noyim. All right? Oh, it's after the Mishnah. It's right after the Mishnah. Okay? Okay, fellas, we'll stop here for today.